Hello everybody. Let us close our eyes for a minute and bring our energy all together and let God come through all of us. Let us be attentive and participating in the lecture together, and let us learn from what God has revealed to us and become one with it. Hello. Well, we're going to have a lecture in the first seal. If you go to the website and have the PowerPoint up, you know, it's the first screen, and you have to just follow it as I go along. The lecture, we're going to start to see what did we talk about. We gave the lecture about the second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal, and seventh seal. Okay, so if you want to go and look at what has been given in previous years, you can just go to this lecture and click in one of them and go to see what the lecture was. In this lecture, we will cover the first seal, awakening of the spiritual forces. So that is what will be the most expanded and vast ground, because it is spirit beyond all religion. You know, you cannot have a religion without mystical path. You know, there's no religion that has no mystical path in it. The only thing I was thinking was the Baha'i teaching. Even they probably will have some mystical people in it, and they have some experience with God and all that. Then we'll have a lecture on all the seals on the greatest sign. So with this lecture, we will have a lecture given in every seal in the greatest sign. And if you want to go what the lecture was, you can go ahead and look at the website and see what was given. So next year, you know, the lecture is going to be, I'm going to ask questions from you guys what the lecture was. So you must go and learn the lecture. So next year, so you're going to be all tested on the lectures are given. So you have to listen very carefully today, so you don't have to go and study it again, you know, for the next year. So, but I think there are very good lectures that are bring everything together, you know. And now you have this, we are going to have, you know, very good collection of what these fields are talking about. So we are going to start with the beginning. Actually, if we look at the lectures, most of the lectures from the second seal start from the Abraham. Okay, how Abraham was chosen and all that. And the second seal starts, the third seal starts with Christ, you know. And the fourth seal was about Islam, and fifth seal was about the Baha'is, and sixth seal Baba, and Prabhupada's, and seventh seal, of course, our teaching. Now, this is going to cover mostly from beginning of the creation to the second seal, okay, because that is what we're missing right now in our lectures. That's why we start from the beginning. What was in the beginning? Anybody remember? What happened before? Somebody is cheating here. Actually, it is true. The beginning, it was the Word. The Word was God. And, okay. But at the same time, of course, God was before the creation. God was before the chaos. God was before anything happened in the universe. Before, in the beginning was the Word. But after that, what happened? That was the chaos there. The darkness was upon the deep, wasn't there? Okay, if the darkness was upon the deep, then what is darkness? Darkness means chaos. It means you cannot see. You're wet. You're confused. You hit each other and you cannot find your way. So there was a chaos. And in that chaos, of course, God decided to send His Spirit. Yeah. God sent His Spirit into His chaos. Okay? Why did He do that? Because He wanted to rescue that chaos, the darkness, dispel it. So something went wrong in the universe. Okay? We say it was the first desire in the consciousness of created in the world or oneness in the universe. And for the first time, the feeling of I separated from the rest is created. That's what like we are. We are I, you know, separated from each other. But if we are all in God, are we really separated from each other? We are not. We are absolutely one. The reason we were separated is because we have that separated I from one another. But God didn't want that to happen. He didn't want to see that separation. He wanted, that is what the chaos is, you know. Do we have a chaos on earth? Why is there chaos on earth?
Separation.
Exactly. You know, because it feels separated, we are different than they are, and they are different than we are. You know, what is that story? Putting the butter underneath the bread, and the putting butter at the top of the bread, and the little difference come big, and you get to all the kind of trouble with one another. So, God sends His Spirit to the world, and the Spirit, of course, goes to the eternal divine path. And of course, if you just are teaching, it explains how He went through the eternal divine path. He was the Spirit of God. He was the consciousness of God. And that is the greatest sacrifice God makes for the darkness, to come to it and manifest itself to the darkness and go through the process with the darkness and help the darkness to go back to God. And that's why God comes in the form of the prophets to bring to humans the message. And the message, of course, is turn around, be baptized, go back home. You know, you're going away too far. And so that spirit goes through the process of eternal divine path. It awakens its spiritual forces. Of course, it's because it was the Spirit of God. It awakens its spiritual forces. He realizes he has to help the rest of the people in the darkness to go to God. So it creates communities of light. He sacrifices for it. He... What's the next one? Good, good. I thought you guys are asleep or something. And the next one is to surrender and submit to God, and then become universalist. Absolutely expand your mind beyond any narrowness of the mind and go to expansion of the mind. And see the universe as a part of you, and you're part of the universe. You're absolutely expanding yourself, and you become a part of it. You become an elect. And he became an elect, and eventually he reached to consciousness, and God said, there is light, there is a possibility, there is a way out, you know. We can help this darkness to go back into consciousness and reach back to home. So that is why the Eternal Divine Path was created. He had an experience with God that he knew he was a part of it. That's why the first step is so important for everybody to start meditating. Just to awaken their supporters, remember that they are a part of God already. You know, a lot of people don't know it. They don't remember that they have come from God. They have this amnesia that, no, we're not a part of God. You know, we're not, we just are little egos, and they are separated, and they feel bad about themselves, or they feel bad about their lives, or small, how small I am, or something. But it's experienced as a part of God. They know that they are not. No, they are a part of God. So they can absolutely get with the rest of the path. Since he realized that he was, has always been a part of God, he is willing to go through the rest of the eternal divine path. That's why meditation and awakening of spiritual forces are so important. It gets us away from depression, it gets us away from feeling not worthy to go through the eternal divine path. Even some people don't think they're worthy to go to God. You know, they say, well, I'm not worthy to go to God or something like that. But as you meditate and you realize you are already part of God, you realize, well, I better get out with the rest of the eternal divine path. The path to salvation and the way to bring back the lost universe in darkness and land was learned and discovered. The Son and the Father, with the Holy Ghost Mother, tried to help those lost unit consciousness to reach pure consciousness. Now, he reached pure consciousness, now what can happen? the path is learned. You can come back again and again and again. That's what you are teaching, is the spirit of God come back to humanity again and again. It's the same spirit was Adam, the same spirit was Noah, the same spirit was Moses or other prophets or Christ. You know, just because he knows the eternal divine path. He knows the will of God. He has gone through that process. So the Father, God, and the Holy Ghost, the Mother, and the Son decided that we want to help the, you know, darkness to go back to God. In the unmanifested state, it was very hard work to accomplish it. How hard it is to get the unified to go to God in the manifested world? It is very tough, isn't it? You have to, like a pulling teeth, you know, and because ego says, no, you don't have to go to God, stay here, do your thing, you're okay, you know, why did he do that, why did you do that, and, you know, and you don't want to really go to God, but you want to keep your ego with you. But do you really want to keep your ego? You know, why do you want to keep your ego? And stay here and suffer and, you know, have this body which, you know, gets old and crooked and needs food all the time and drink and, you know, have to work for it to get some food for it and all that. But in pure consciousness, you're absolutely in bliss. So God decided to make this process easier and more automatic. I think me and God have something in common. I want to make everything automatic too. Make all those tapes and sounds and the, even the services are all automatic there. So he decided to automate the system, and that is why he created the creation. See, he didn't just come and said be and everything was. Lots of people were saying, oh, that God created everything. You know. He didn't. Bible clearly says there was no creation in the beginning. Chaos was where it was before creation, wasn't it? So didn't God just didn't come and say, okay, I'm going to decide and make the creation. There was some chaos first. And then God decides to create creation. So he created creation for what? To take care of that chaos. So if you understand that, that's a problem and questions that people have, that they have been asking questions, you know, where the unit consciousness come from, okay, how God create universe. So there was some material there. There was something there before the creation. That is why he used the same material. He used the, you know, that lost consciousness and his own body to create the creation. So the material already exists, okay? So it's not something that creation come from nothingness, okay, or from nothing. Okay? There is no such thing as nothing. You know, creative forces and three gunas always been here. Okay? It's hard for our intellect to fathom that something has been here forever. Okay? Just like eternity, what is eternity? You know, how can we even imagine what eternity means? You know, how do you say in French eternity?
Eternity.
Eternity. Eternity. How can I can, you know, just believe? What, how can even imagine eternity? Huh? You can. It's very hard to do. Okay, but the moment in your meditation experience eternity. The eternity, you will know what it is. It's very simple. Yeah, it makes sense. It's been there forever. So God created the creation in an evolutionary manner. Also, he used the material, which is the consciousness and the creative forces. So he is not even against evolution. Okay? Sure. God evolved the creation. He created dinosaurs, and he realized 98% of them are not going to work. And probably some of them is destroyed, and now as we understand it, even you have dinosaurs like in your backyard. Okay? If you look at your backyard, any bird you look at, it is a dinosaur. The rooster you have, it used to be a dinosaur, or a crow, or anything you outside. It's what?
Rugby.
Rugby, yeah. Yeah. You mean cricket? You know, dinosaurs or something similar to them. So we can see, yeah, God created and evolved and it's very like us. So when the first computer came, how many memory it had? 64K and those floppy disks, remember those huge, you know, 8-inch floppy disks? Now how many, how we progressed in last 20 years? You know, we evolve and we progress and we must make it better and better. And now we have a very powerful computer. That little thing on your desk is more powerful than the first computer they created that took 3-4 rooms just to, you know, have that to work. So we can see that we are in the image of God. We do the same thing that God does. We create and we evolve and we perfect it and make it more efficient as we go ahead. And then of course God decided to create the plants, the earth, everything, and he created them in a period of the same as scientists. They have periods for creation, you know? They have Jurassic period, they have, you know, many different periods of creation. And some people say it was created in 7 days of the night and day they created it. How can there be? There was no sun and moon even before the third day. There was no sun and moon to have a day. So really when it talks about the day, it talks about the period of the creation, not one 24-hour day that, you know, they bring it up. So, and creation of humans, they were male and female, okay? And of course eventually the crown of the creation was the creation of man. Of course some people don't believe that, yet they probably, there are other creatures that they are better or higher than man, but man has the ability to know self, and they know that the self and God is one. They can reach to consciousness. So he created them. Actually, if you look at the Bible, it says he created them, and it's amazing. I mean, nobody saw that sentence. I was the first person after 12,000 years saw that. It's right there. He created them. He created more than one, you know. But they have been talking about Adam and Eve only when two beings, or Adam was only one being God created, and they never occurred to them that he was male and female. That's why he had to split them to in the beginning. But it was so clear to me right there, it says, them, more than one. And Adam and Eve weren't there before God split them. He couldn't call them if Adam and Eve is one in one being. He should say he created him or her or it. But it doesn't say that. It says them, more than one. So we can see that God created many, many humans. It wasn't only Adam came in the garden and was all by himself and unhappy and God split him. Anyway, so we can see he created them in as a male and female. They were perfect. They were called Adam. Adam actually in some languages means perfect. You know, when they want to say somebody, you're becoming good, you're progressing, you're becoming perfect, they say you're becoming an Adam. Case in point is Persian. In Persian, if you in Iranian language, then they want to say you are perfect. Even in French, you have anything like that. Adam means more perfect person. No, yeah. In that language, means you are perfect. You're becoming a more perfect person. Actually, the word used exactly Adam even in Persian, so it's not different. Of course, they are the same language, Indo-European, but that means that Adam was perfect. He was absolutely man and woman, male and female in one body, and he did not need any external pressure or any looking for opposite sex or being always looking for, you know, getting married or anything. He was already married, no? He was one with his partner. And so God decided, well, he's too perfect, okay? He's not really progressing to go back to the universe. See, we have to always remember what is the reason for creation. The goal of the creation is to bring the whole thing back to God.
Okay.
If we get that in mind, so we always can see why God was doing this thing and in the creation, or what you do things in this mission. The whole idea of this mission is what? To get with us back to God. It's not to get me, you attached to me or anybody else, but to God alone. And we all have to also work toward that goal, to work toward everybody in the mission to go to God as fast as possible and create an environment that it accelerates that, so we all can go back home. So God decided to separate man or Adam to male and female, and of course in the Bible it clearly says he did that, and God saw that man was alone. He doesn't say the man was lonely, he said that he was alone, all one, and he decided to separate man to male and female. Fall of man, of course everybody knows the famous story that how man fell. After they split male and female, both of them had lower nature and higher nature. And also, remember, there wasn't only one Adam, there was many of them. It wasn't that one woman went to the male and said, okay, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were many of them there, and God told them, don't do those things, do this thing. If you do follow my rule and request and commandment, you will be okay, and you can live in a higher level in the grace, and you progress faster, you come back to me, and we can get rid of this darkness as soon as possible. But what happened? Did they listen to God? Are they listening to God now? If you teach godly word, would they come? If you tell them, you are okay, do whatever you want, you are fine as you are, you get a lot of followers, and yeah, and they just go to bless and, you know, and fall all over the place and call you God and put you up there in the pedestal and follow a lot of, you get millions of people to follow you and you become their God and you never get to God because they are in your way, okay? And that is what most of my was. When I tell them to follow eternal divine path, meditate, you know, get rid of your ego, they say you are a bad person, get him, kill him, crucify him, and then they say, oh, we now crucified him, he's not around to tell us what to do. He was great, he was wonderful. Okay, now let's do whatever we want and follow whatever we are desiring. So you can see that teaching the truth doesn't have much of a follower. Do you want to say something? Why do you guys want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, it doesn't have much of a following yet.
Sure, uh-huh. Hopefully, well, actually this time it's supposed to be a little different because the elect, they love to hear the word of God, you know, if other people don't love to hear the love of God, at least they are, hopefully. We get to that too later. So higher nature of man falls to the ground. What does that mean? Falling. Really, there was a garden there. A lot of people are looking for a garden on earth. The Garden of Eden is. Some people said it was in Babylon or in Iraq. Some people say it was in Persia. Some people say it was somewhere else. Some people say even United States was the garden. So that is why man was thrown out of it. And then later on now came back to it. It's the land of milk and honey and all that. So they're looking for a place, but it is. But really in a state of consciousness. Okay? That is when you follow God's law and will, and you are in the blessed and the grace of God. And if you don't, of course, you fall. And when that happened, of course, they became more gross, and they came and they start living in a lower level of consciousness, and they start having children, and Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. And what happened to Cain and Abel? The second seen a start, didn't it? Okay, Abel was a very able man and very aware of God, and he brought to God the offering that was from his heart. You know, he wasn't trying to bring to God something that he has expected something in return. He was absolutely detached to his work for God. But Cain wasn't. You know, that's why God, he didn't accept Cain's offer. You know, and Cain was very upset about it. You know, what was the difference? You know, I brought the same thing, you know, and you don't accept mine, but Abel's offering you accept. You know, he didn't understand. You know, because he didn't bring the pure heart. He expected something in return. He wanted something from God for the things he was doing for God. So that's what God said, I'm not going to accept yours, but Abel's I will accept because it was from his pure heart, from absolutely, you know, detachment, and he wanted to go to God instead of, you know, just expecting something. And Cain got angry for that. He couldn't understand all those things. Who killed Abel? And when God asked him, where is Abel? He said, I don't know, I'm not my brother keeper. No, where are you asking me? No, I hide it in. You don't know where it is either. But of course, God already knew where it was, because you can't hide anything from God. You know, you can try, but you think, you know, if you do something, you know, my chair is not around, it's okay, I can do it. God is with you. Okay, you can try to hide it, but you can hide it from him. Anyway, so that was the second sin again, and God told Abel even farther about the grace. He absolutely pushed him from his presence, and we know that he became a vagabond. What does a vagabond mean? No home. He became a stranger. He fell from the grace in a greater degree, but absolutely was pushed out of the grace. Do not fall farther to flesh. Man no longer is in the image of God. Adam has his son in Adam's image. If you can see, in the beginning God created Adam in whose image? God's image. But in Genesis, it says, Adam, because a son in his image. Okay. It doesn't say anymore that the son of the Adam is in the image of God. Okay? Because now man was split to two. If I get a son, the son is half, really, because he has another part. Somebody was born, maybe, you know, if you can find him his other part, if he has some. So he is not in God's image. He's in my image, because he's my son. Okay? That's exactly what happened to Adam. He got set. Which was in the image of Adam. He no longer was in the image of God. And of course, because he's not in the image of God, he's half the image of God. Because he doesn't have the other half. So we can see, man is no longer in the image of God after his blood is split to male and female. That is another going even more away from the grace. And of course, there is a story that after the first fall, somehow God creates for him another female. And actually Seth is from the second wife that comes to him. And that's why that's a story about having other part and the twin flame in the dough. And you see all the great, you know, prophets and great beings like Shiva, Krishna, even Christ, you know, and Moses, or Christ, there was Mary Magdalene, or Mary and Martha, and the Prophet Muhammad was Khadija and Aisha, you know, and Bob was his wife, and Tahira. So, you can see all this. So, this is a story that also Seth is from the second wife of Adam. Codification of man to the fleshly being for self-esteem. Okay, now man in this state still is more psychic energy. It doesn't have any physical body. Okay, it's not codified enough to really have flesh that needs a skin. But because they fall even farther, now God creates a fleshly body for them, and he put a coat of a skin on them. So human became eventually flesh. absolutely now they are absolutely flesh, but they still have their psychic energy within, the third eyes open, they can still see their spirit, the spiritual world and the spirit. And actually I thought that may be what many people talk about, cyclones. Have you ever heard about cyclones? That they had the spiritual power and the energy and all that. And it's, all of these legends have a truth in them. So it means there was human that they had only one eye, so their third eye was open, so they could see things, the psychic energy and that. And they use that still for further, manipulating their spirit, and they became very powerful and started manipulating energy. Actually, they reached a point they could extract life form and use it to prolong their life. And in chapter 6, of course, the sons of gods also fail. Okay, they come and they become attached to the external world, they see the daughter of man and took as much as they wanted, and then they become attached to the earth and they start using their power to create a better environment for themselves. Human still has access to the spiritual world, the third eye were open. They misused it, and even those who had reached a higher level, sons of God, failed. These failed sons formed a group that is now known as the brotherhood or hierarchy. Okay, that is where, we were talking about recently, that the divine creed, that essays about who is the Antichrist that I wrote from a Sri Pontico or something, and I tried to include them to the mission and our thing, but the more I worked it, the more I meditated, it just could not work. To them, and they also attach people to themselves. Anything, anybody, any group, any movement that attach the people to to something which is not formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal should be really looked at in a very deep level and realize really are they taking people to God or they are in a way. So actually when I first read this in the Bible, that came to me very clearly, these are the fallen angels. There were the sons that fell, okay? Because if you're really sons of God, why come you come to earth and take wives and children and, have all those things here and become attached to them? So, that was the conclusion, that they fell, and eventually they created this group or energy on earth, and now, of course, they are in the way of people. Many still follow these fallen angels. How many people channel this angel? Master M and what is that?
Rama,
the Kuni, and all those things. Why do you want to channel this? Why don't you go to God directly? Okay, you're not here to, the goal of life is to become divine, become one with God, not the Kutumi and Master Amos. So it's really have taken a lot of people away from being godly and go to God. And an obstacle in the way of God, man to God, they have even brought much confusion about Maitreya. Just about Mr. Kram and his Maitreya is coming tomorrow and not next week, maybe in the next week after, next year, 6 months from now, it didn't happen, maybe he can wait another year, 2 years, it's 25 years, you can fool me once, you can fool me twice, but if you can fool me 25 years, I'm a fool. See, it just has to come to a conclusion, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to listen to you. If he could have made it, he should have been here by now. You can't just tell me more and more, and then he was correct though about the 1982. Okay, he predicted correctly. That's why he actually looked like John the Baptist sometimes. John the Baptist said the same thing about Christ. He's gonna come. When he came, he didn't recognize him. He said, "No, are you?" And he had to send his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one we are waiting for?" And they say, "Yeah, you told me, you baptized me, hello." The same thing happening here, he comes here, he comes in 1982, he comes here and says, "Here it is,
this, you want to unify humanity, you want to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, this is it is, he has given the way to do it. He says no, you know, even if disciples come to our left, to room and yell and all that.
Further misuse of power, okay. Other beings that felt were those who set themselves up as God. So there was another group also, before even the flood, who set themselves as God, you know. And they said, we are God, and because they had the sacred energy and third eye was open, they could manipulate the energy and even do miracles and all that. And they set themselves up as God, and they called their children the sons of God, and their wives the holy mothers. So they created the Trinity in the form of human. Okay, they said, we are God, these are our holy mother, and these are the sons of God. The true explanation of this Trinity is not human form. It's God, Holy Ghost, and the Messiah. You know, it's absolutely, they knew about it, but they twisted around for humanity and made the Trinity in a human form. Okay? Human should take no one as God, but the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. It's absolutely paramount in our teaching, and we have to recognize it, realize it. Even if you see me as the Spirit of God, look at the Spirit, this body is going to go and die and go away. And therefore the Spirit of God which behind me is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Okay, you cannot, of course, as we said many times, God cannot come say, I'm here, I am. And everyone says, oh, I can see you, I can. Many people can't. So he has to use his body to do that. There's still many humans take other men as God. We saw in our 2 weeks ago's conversation, this person came from Sai Baba and absolute people, Adam, and he's God. It's absolutely is against our teaching. Nobody can claim to be God, and that's one of the problems we'll see later on. That's one of the problems with the mystical path, because they claim that human can become be God and come and did Sai Baba create the creation? Or if you poke him, he doesn't bleed? Or he doesn't get sick? Or whatever? So we can see it's not true. There's still many humans take other men as God. To destroy this, God created the concept of Messiah, and only the Messiah is the Spirit of God on earth. Because that's why after the flood, God created, after even before flood, God created the concept of the Son of God, the first begotten Son. The Spirit of God comes to earth. The Spirit of God comes to man as the teacher, as the messenger, as the bringer of the message of God. And only that you can look and say, yeah, he has fulfilled the prophecy, he has did what God says, his word is based on God, therefore, yeah, he is the Spirit of God. And only that can be taken as the Spirit of God on earth. So God knows very well man, so he has created very clearly how he works. No man can come and claim they are God, no matter how wonderful they are, how much miracles they do, how beautiful words they can utter. Yeah, doesn't matter. I'm not going to follow you. Have you fulfilled the prophecy? Have you opened the seventh seal? Have you opened the book? Are you from the whatever? Okay, God said he's going to do. Prophet Muhammad did. Christ did. Moses did. Bob did. Therefore, we can see it is very exclusive club. Not everybody can come in. Man should understand this and should stop taking others as God. Another evolutionist that came for all this this chaos, failure, and destruction, a new evolutionist that became necessary. This step is known to man as the flood of Noah. One of the reasons for the flood of Noah was to determine to worship only formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal as much as possible. Those who did not were destroyed. That's what in the philosophy know what happened. It sounds cruel. It sounds like, oh no, we don't want to destroy anybody. Listen to everybody and include everybody. And this is new motto in society. Oh, everybody should be included. No, don't be harsh to anybody and all that. But God is. God says, okay, now that's enough. It's time to thunder, So you can see, we can say we are on the brink of the same thing as flood of Noah was. Okay. It's the time of thundering. Those who come to our boat, they're going to be saved. Those are going to be out of the boat, flood are going to come and destroy them. The idea was to create a less spiritual aware man and send to him the Messiah, guiding them with the Spirit of God. At the end, the wheat will be sundered from the chaff. Again, he closed the test of man. He created a new man, a man of renown. Do we see anything? Our terrors are not open? Okay. We are absolutely flesh, and we think this is the external world, we are so attached to it, and we think that's it, So, we are absolutely cut off from the spirit, cut off from even seeing the, spiritual world. But why? So he can be guided and recognize who is guided, who is not. That's what we can see last 2,000 years of the history to this point has been for this reason. So the wheat and the chaff were left to grow together until the harvest time. So the history has started. And we know that many humans are still lost. When you lust, you get lost. The next topic is going to be effects of the flood of Noah on human and their history. Noah became the first spiritual teacher of the new human. Noah had still his eyes open. He was from the previous generation. And if you study the generation in the Bible, it says God begot this and God and this person begot that son and this begot. So the first son's only mentioned. They never mentioned more than one son. At the end, of course, it says also they begot some daughters. Okay. So suddenly in the Noah, it changes. It says Noah begot three sons. The flow is not the same as the previous verses. So we say something happened to those three sons, something happened. Then when Bible changes the rhythm that it goes on, that means something new thing happened. And of course, also he says, God created man renowned. So in this time, Noah had the spiritual powers and understanding of God, and he was a good man. He wasn't saying that he is God and his sons are the sons of God and his wife is the Holy Mother. He was absolutely known God. So he became the teacher of his next generation. His teaching became the base of the mystical path. So he taught them the base of the spirit, how to return, meditate, Avengers, first seal. So he taught them the eternal one path. He taught them how to, create the communities together, how to get along, how to create an environment that people can progress and all that. So he taught them the mystical path and he became the first teacher of man. So he brought the teaching of the previous generation to new generation and creation of the five classes of human. So this new three sun became the symbol of five classes of human. The man is the symbol for the Shudras and Kshatriyas type of humans. And so he created the Shudras and Kshatriyas. Of course, you can go study in our teaching who the Shudras and Kshatriyas are. And they're not bad to be Shudras or Kshatriyas. It's okay, as far as you're satisfied where you are and what you're doing, actually, the Sadhvitras, the Paravitras, are supposed to be Shudras too, to be able to do the physical work if necessary. If the fight, they would take the army and go and put the rebellious you know, people down or whatever is necessary. Actually, we're supposed to have the last war. So if you don't have Cassians with us, how can we have the last war on all that? And Japheth is the symbol for the intellectual and business-oriented people, which are called Vikras and Vaishyas. And Hashem is the spiritual beings, which are called Brahmins. Of course, Abraham was Abraham. He wasn't even Brahman, God choosing. Explanation of the class domination after the flood of Noah. For more information, read the book, The Kingdom, or the lecture we gave for the second seal. Okay, we have actually PowerPoint on that. Actually, we have two PowerPoints of that. Radha also gave a lecture on that also. So we can go and read all about how class domination continued in human history and how these classes dominated themselves. And if we do not bring the kingdom, how these classes are going to dominate each other, and it's going to go on and on forever. You know, but we have to bring a system that the Paravipras are going to be on control, and they smooth out this period without getting to the evolution or revolution and all that. That is all in there in the book. Worshipping other men as God, and the mystery school continued after the flood of Noah. So we said one of the problems was coming of the flood of Noah was there was this mystery school that they said, our head is God, and you know, my wife is, you know, Holy Ghost, and the Son is the Son of God. Those people they were following, that's what destroyed them, weren't they? So they were supposed, I think they were stopped then. But of course later on they are incarnated after the flood. He said God is stuck. God wanted the chaff and the wheat to grow together. So he didn't completely separate them. Still the chaff was coming, you know, to life. And of course it was the beginning of the period of the Cassians or various class, and Nimrud was the beginning of that class. Nimrud became the king, and Nimrud began a new cult, and the period of Cassius started with him. His kingdom started in Babel. And Babel, of course, we are saying people are babbling, you know. Just saying, you know, what is listening to anybody? Just everybody babbles and, you know, they absolutely go over each other's head. Right now, that's why they have so much war and destruction. But somebody sits quiet and listen to this revelation. Everybody has something to say when they come to our room. They want to say, they have what we already know what you said. We already read your scriptures. We know about your religion. Just you sit quiet, you know. If you can't keep people quiet for a couple of minutes, maybe you can get something in. But if you're talking all the time, doesn't get anything there. He changed the worship of the one God, which is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. After the flood, now Noah was in control, wasn't he? He brought the teaching of the worship of formless, nameless, and invisible to humanity, and people start worshipping invisible God again. But people said it's too hard for us. We cannot see God. We cannot feel God. We cannot cut the part, the third eye of even was closed. So they were desperate. We were saying it's hard. You know, we want a statue. We want a, you know, something that hang into to worship Him. And Nimrud was the king. Kings usually listen to the subject, okay, because they want to make them please them, okay. Not the king that it has the spirit of God in him. No, he just listened to God. But the real human king listened to men. You know, what did they want? You know. So Nimrud gave in. He said, okay, you don't have to worship for the I'm your God, and you worship me, and take all my pictures all over the place, like Saddam was saying, and my statues everywhere. You know, now you have a God, just listen to me. You don't have to worry about God. So he took that down, and actually the people who were in the control of the spiritual progress became very upset with him. You know, because after the flood, those high priests, just like Melchizedek, he and other people very upset with Nimrud that he again destroyed the worshipping and formless, invisible and nameless God. And he
changed the worshipping. Okay, he changed the worshipping of the God, which is Konrasimizu Nemlu. After death of, and he was killed, actually, because he claimed that he was killed by the people, they realized he's changing things again to the way it was before the flood. After his death, his wife Semiramis claimed the child in her womb, Bar Nin, is Nimrud. And so Nimrud is God, and his son, Ben Bar Nin, is the son of God, and she is the Holy Mother. The concept of Trinity as being human has started again. Okay. So Semiramis said, no, the son, the child I have in my womb is Nimrud, is the reincarnation of Nimrud. He's going to come back, and therefore, it was your God before, he's going to be your God again, and he's going to be the son of God, and I am his mother, so I'm the Holy Mother. Again, the Trinity of before the thing started all over again. This belief of human being God, Holy Ghost, Mother, and the Son of God has spread through all through the earth. Many cultures and people still believe in this false explanation of God, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. Okay, that continue to this point, and when the teaching of Christ came to Roman Empire and Greece, they already had these things there as their part of their belief. So as we said, in the many things what changed in Christ's teaching by Rome and Athenians, they accepted he was the Son of God, okay, but also accepted his mother was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Mother, and the Father is God who had a relationship with Mary, and created the Son. But with our explanation, we take the true meaning of the Father, Mother, and Son to the correct explanation, which is a spirit. It has nothing to do with the physical thing. So again, that is being corrected here. Also, Egyptian picked up the Nimrud's teaching, and they made it to Osiris and Isis and all that. That the same story that he dies and he gets pregnant and his son becomes the king. So that is why also he was spread all over the culture. The name changed. That's what he's known in many other cultures as Osiris, Saturn. The name Satan come from the same root. Attis, Atlas, Apollo, Zernebugus, whatever that's been, Bacchus, and Zeus. So again, we can see our explanation on how the name of Jesus came from, again, come from worshipping Nimrud and Mystery School and all that. Semiramis is known in other cultures as Isis, Ishtar, Cybele, Venus, Aphrodite, Diana, and Juno. And Ben Bar Nin is known as in other cultures as Horus, Marduk, Mars, etc. Many of these ideas still exist today. Many people follow her Isis, and they believe in the Egyptian philosophy and teachings and all that. All of them are made by man, not a revelation by God. Man again falls further and sets himself as God. They again stop listening to God. Tower of Babylon. But still, after the flood, you know, we went back to the way things were before the flood. But of course, human doesn't have that direct relationship with the spirit. But what they have left with is telepathy. They still have the telepathic ability. They could talk and understand each other in the telepathy. That was it. That the Bible said they were of one language. Okay, Luke, go ahead. What's the question? Or maybe even go ahead and type it. The question is because God told Hebrews to get out of Egypt, maybe that was the reason, because they were worshipping idols and false teaching. That was one of the reasons, of course.
Another reason was God already gave them the promise of the promised land. And so he had to take them to promised land. And also in promised land they would not worship the idols. They would not worship the mysterious gods. They will bring God, formless, invisible, nameless and eternal, into midst. And that is why later on when Moses went to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and he was late, what did they do? Because they had learned from the Egypt, they said, we don't have our property left, let's create another, you know, calf of gold and worship him and sacrifice to it, and then you have a God. Okay. So they have always been influenced with Egyptian very deeply. That's why the moment they lost their prophet, they reverted back to their ways. Okay. So that is true. That can be a reason for it, and also he had a promise to take them to the promised land. Of course, when they go to promised land, they will have formless and invisible name as God. Okay, so they had a telepathic ability. They could communicate with each other very easily. And that is why they got together again, and then further they start saying, okay, let's go make a tower, go to the sky and find the formless and invisible God and kill him. So we don't have to worry about him anymore. So we can be God ourselves and continue, you know, going our way. That shows how stubborn human is, isn't it? And how much they want to be God themselves. You know, they don't want to listen to God at all. You know, they want to be God in their little ego, whatever they have. So, to further prevent a human from harming themselves and so accelerate their progress, they were scattered all over the earth. Now it is time to scatter all over the universe. So their telepathic ability also is taken away. Can we make telepathy with each other now? We can't anymore. No, I'm just, you know, how to do it. But still we have a little bit of it. I mean, have you ever, you know somebody is going to call you and the phone rings? There's some little still left in us. That means we can have it back, but we're not going to have it back until we learn how to become godly and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. So he took the telepathic ability from them. Their language was different. They were changed. He actually destroyed some of the lands they were in. He separated and split the land from each other and farther away, and he scattered them all over the earth. As humans were scattered all over the earth, the mystical knowledge was also scattered by their priests and the spiritual teachers. So now we have all these people that they were head of the spiritual teachers group, they left and went to different parts of the world, you know, including the mystery schools and thinking and the teaching of the human can become God and Son of God and the Holy Ghost. From this original teaching, the mystical understanding of all nations and people has sprung. That's why we have still this teaching going on earth and people following them. Okay, we're going to go fast here a little bit. Okay, Indian continent is attached to the Asian continent. So, you know, Indian continent is not really belong to Asia. You know, it came from Africa, it was disconnected from Africa, broke up, and eventually went like you under Asian continent and pushing it up, it still is pushing it up, and eventually the Himalayas was formed, and Himalayas actually increased every couple of inches every year. So if you want to climb it fast, because it's going to be very hard. It's harder to get to the top. So it came and went underneath, okay? As the evolutionary process has shown us, these ideas form different beliefs adapted to the situation different people were in. Also, the mystical path came from the same source, but because they were scattered all over the earth and the situations were different for each people, and usually the beliefs are evolved with the environment you are in. You know, if you study the belief of any culture, the belief is based very much according to what the environment provides. For example, American Indians who were in the place that there were buffaloes, they have a lot of myths about buffaloes. Okay, they, when they were in the village, they had a lot of miles about their village and how they were in the northeast. They had different kind of it, but basically they believed in some mystical experience and they follow it. So the same thing happened with this belief. Also, they came from originally from same place. They evolved with different place differently. Of course, as we increase our communication between humans, the culture also is going to become more and more like each other. So, 50 years ago, we didn't know what's happening in Iraq, or we didn't even care. Now we know more about Islam, we know more about their culture, we know more about the culture of the West and East, and they're mixing each other. So even if you don't do anything and just sit here, eventually their culture is going to mix up, and the people are going to know each other better. Actually, they come here and they start the mission. If it was an airplane and all these things was provided to do this. One of these branches was the Aryan who lived in the steppes of Europe and Russia. Some believe they live in North Pole. So one of these people that was scattered was the Aryan race that they were in the steppe of Europe, and after they believed that at the time that they were there, there was not much of civilization. There was the most civilized people. And some people believe that they were living in the North Pole at the time it was warm, and then suddenly the ice age came and covered the land. As they covered the land, they had to move down, and so they came south and went to Europe, and one went to Asia. These people moved to Europe and Asia. Later they split into two branches. One went to India and another went to Iran. So that's where actually Iran means the land of Aryans. The very name Iran means the land of Aryans. And so that's why the Indo-European language are shared with Europe, with India and Persian language. Old Persian, not new one. New one is influencing Arabic more. The branch in India met the black population that was in the Indian continent, brought from Asia, Africa, and eventually mixed with them. Shiva and he is mixing. Actually, Shiva was a black person, but he was very spiritual and he meditated in graves, and he created the tantra way of going to higher level of consciousness. He actually married a white Aryan, and they started mixing the culture together and created India. Still, if you go to India, the northern India is whiter than the southern India. They're more darker in the skin. Okay. Indian became the guardian to continue the mystical path. That is why their religion is the oldest religion on earth and is vast and all-inclusive in many ways. So you can see the India or Hindu religion actually is the prominent mystical path that we teach in the mission, as having the probably more mystical path than any other path that also is called mystical path. The branch in Iran converted to Zoroastrianism. So there's a prophet chain, and that brought the religion of Zoroastrian religion and its influence on other religions. The prophet of the Zoroastrian religion was Zoroaster. He brought the concept of duality in religion as good, God or Ahura Mazda, and evil as devil or Ahriman. That was the first religion. The Hinduism is a monotheistic religion. It means it doesn't believe in good and evil. If the evil is the lower nature. Okay, it's not some beings out there called evil is going to come and get you. Of course, they have a different unclean spirit that can affect you and all that. But they don't have anything called devil in Hinduism. You go to the Hindus, the real Hindus have never heard about Christianity or anything. They tell them devil. What's the devil? There's only one God, and the rest is lower nature and falling. But for the first time, that is the teaching brought the concept of evil and good, and he thought that there is a struggle going between evil and good in this world.
actually he said everything was good in the beginning. And that,
well, actually that is what the Bible says too.
Yeah. Actually it influenced the Bible and all that. Anyway, Abraham was Persian and followed the Zoroastrian, was the follower of the Zoroastrian religion. So we can say he was in Babel. But the religion of Zoroastrian spread in Persia and went all the way to many other cultures, and most probably he was somebody who moved from Iran or Persia and went to Babylonian, and he started opposing the, you know, the statue worshipping and all that. So that is a speculation that he really was Persian, or is it have some truth on it? Cyrus, the king of Persia, knew this. He helped the Hebrews. Why king of Persia goes and destroys the Assyrians, but he is very good to Hebrews? Unless he believes that Hebrews are a part of their culture, a part of their race. They were Persian, that's why he was very good to them. And he brought them back to Iran, and actually he gave them equal rights with the Persians. No, because he knew they are a part of it. The Magi knew this also. They came to Christ and brought him gifts. Why Magi believe that? Because they believe the Messiah or the Savior is going to come from Zoroastrian. That's what they believe. Actually, the whole idea of the Savior, the Son of God, coming from the Virgin was the part of the teaching of Mitra in Zoroastrian religion, and they were waiting for this Savior to come. That's why they followed the star and they came and find him, because they knew also Hebrews are from the same race. That's why they believe that he's going to come from Persia, and he was Persian because he was from the same race. Moslem knew this. They spared the Zoroastrian religion, as they also believed in one God, and were the people who influenced Judaism and eventually Islam. So they also, Muslim, when they conquered Iran, Zoroastrian religion is only religion they really didn't convert them. They let them, leave them alone, you know, when you get, and they converted them so very slowly, because they also knew that they influenced, who's Arabs? Arabs are the children of Abraham, right? And if Abraham is Persian, the other part also Persian, so that's why when they give them to Iran, they spare them. And they still have some Zoroastrian in India, called Parsis, and there are hundreds of thousands of them live there. Since he knew about invisible God, Abraham opposed idol worshipping and believed in one God, for his invisible name is eternal. That's why that story about Abraham, and poor Abraham and the idols, I told you guys, remember what happened? Yeah, well, he left there, and he went to this culture that they were worshiping idols, and then he told them, don't worship idols, worship for me to the Zul Nam and God, and they won't do it. You know, they would not listen to him. And one day they went out to a picnic or something out of the city, and he took a hammer and destroyed all their small gods and put the hammer in the hand of the big God. And the people came and said, well, all the idols are destroyed, and they knew who did it, and they got, and Abraham said, Abraham, tell me, you killed all these gods. He said, no, I didn't do it. The big God got angry and just smiled. Oh. And they said, no, he can't do that. He said, why not? He said, no, he's just a statue. Why are you worshiping them? Abraham and Abraham was chosen to start another part of God's plan. To know this part of his plan, read our lecture on Second Seal. We stop here today. We stop the rest of the lecture tomorrow. Salam, everybody.